Welcome to CodeCast. We're a podcast that focuses on everything tech, and we give you an idea of what developers, startups, and creatives are up to in Zambia and across Africa. Every 2 weeks, we explore different topics and applications of technology in the real world. Every episode is brought to you by Agora Code Community. For more information, visit agoracode.community or follow us on Twitter at CodeAgora. Okay, welcome to episode 22 of CodeCast. Today I'm with Elias. Welcome back, Elias.
Back again.
Haven't seen you in a very long time.
In the words of the immortal troops on Arsenal Fan TV.
Congratulations on winning 2 games in a row.
Why are you congratulating me?
Like, because it's the first time you've done it in 10 years.
Welcome to FootballCast.
Anyway, we draw a game. Very frustrating. If you're wondering which... Because all three teams drew. I'm talking about United. Chelsea drew. Mm-hmm. City drew. Mm-hmm. Tottenham drew. Mm-hmm. We don't care about Liverpool.
You should. They're top of the league. But whatever. I mean, we're just like a few goals behind them. So if they could end the league now, great.
Anyway, this is episode 22. Mostly inspired by a conversation I stumbled upon on Twitter it was a conversation between two people. One talking about how a website isn't necessary in this day and age. You can put your information up on Google or whatever and people would still be able to find you. Mm-hmm. And another person responded by saying, but they need us to have websites, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it kind of inspired the whole concept of the show, right? Mm-hmm. Not just appealing to developers in general around certain hacks they could have around websites as well, mm-hmm. but also appealing to the general, you know, the general public, I guess, in terms of how they can take advantage of the digital space. Yeah. Now, the one thing I find most interesting is, like, right now, right? When mm-hmm. we talk about the penetration, first of all, internet... Maybe let's not start from internet, just mobile devices. Mm-hmm. Like Sub-Saharan Africa, for example, has the largest growth in terms of mobile devices. Mm-hmm. And this is across the globe, right? We're growing exponentially. And in terms of data and usage, we are also in the region that's experiencing the most growth. There's like 120% growth projected in the next 5 years in terms of data usage, which is actually quite big.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, we're talking about Sub-Saharan Africa. It just mm-hmm. means lots of people are buying mobile devices. Lots of people are buying devices that can
access the internet.
And it's not just accessing the internet through... basically, it's smart devices.
Yeah.
People have access to this stuff because it's cheaper. I mean, we have all these... phone manufacturers who have made it much, much cheaper for someone to have a smartphone. And it's really interesting. You can get a smartphone for $100 now that can do pretty much as well as most devices out there that people think are like, you know, mm-hmm. top notch. But we really won't get into that. So really talking about how many different ways, different types of businesses can reach their market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's... It's a big headache in terms of making a choice, for example.
Yeah.
You can pick between a website, you can make a Facebook page. You can't make a Google Plus page now. But you can have a LinkedIn profile, and there's so many different avenues to reach your target market, and it's very interesting. And I really want people to have a glimpse of some of the different benefits that come with choosing... whether one of these platforms or all these platforms to increase your digital presence or to get a new market for your product. And mm-hmm. it really depends on a lot of factors. We may not be able to cover all of them, mm-hmm. but I hope that we do enough to steer up a conversation around, well, first of all, what you need to do at each stage of the process. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really a holy... what's it called? A Bible.
The build your own website Bible of sorts.
Exactly. So like we'll try to do as much as we can to kind of explain all of it. And I guess before we get into that, you wanted to say something about Disney?
So a bit of news, not a lot. So just some confirmation. I think we talked about Disney Plus, the new Disney streaming service that's coming. Yeah, so they released some pricing information. So the base subscription is going to be $7, $6.99. That's for Disney Plus. So Disney Plus is going to give you Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic, which I still don't know if Disney owned, but it wouldn't surprise me. But then there's a $13 bundle that will give you Disney Plus, Hulu, which Hulu? I think, yeah,
what
Disney.
The, what
Disney
the hell is Hulu?
Hulu.
Oh, Hulu.
Why would I say Hulu?
I have no idea, dude. No idea.
Okay, so Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. That's going to be in this kind of premium bundle that'll give you these three streaming services. Mm-hmm. They also talked about the supported devices. So there's Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Chromecast, web browsers, iPad, iPhone, PlayStation 4, Roku, streaming players, Roku TV, and Xbox One. A glaring omission is Amazon's Fire TV. So if you have an Amazon Fire tablet, which I don't think a lot of people locally have, mm-hmm. then you won't be able to stream. But in any case, I don't think we're going to be streaming Disney Plus, at least not this year. They're rolling
not available
out
for Africa yet.
Yeah,
right?
They're rolling out. They said they're going to roll out to other regions early next year, but I mean, that could mean anything. So
yeah, I haven't caught on the Netflix train yet, so I'm hoping maybe this is something I might catch on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what I'm seeing is Netflix is actually losing a lot of these deals. So it's not available on the Zambia Netflix, but in the American Netflix, The Office is probably their most popular show. They're going to lose that. They're eventually going to lose Friends. So a lot of these, you know, big streaming companies or big media companies are now moving towards consolidating their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think Netflix might suffer, but I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, looking forward to. Anyway, watch the space as usual.
Yeah.
I'm an early adopter, so if it's available, I will definitely try it out.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely.
$7.99, right? That's not so bad.
Yeah. I like $6.99 actually for the base. So it's a pretty good deal. It's cheaper than Netflix. So yeah. We will definitely try it and give you our opinion on it. By the way, mm-hmm. I recently subscribed for Game Pass because they had a promotion where it's like $1. Mm-hmm. But then there's a workaround where if you get Xbox Live Gold, mm-hmm. and then you subscribe for the Game Pass Ultimate for $1, mm-hmm. it's going to be $1 until your Game Pass expires. Or until your Xbox Live expires. I had a one year subscription.
You know, yeah. What? That's a really good hack.
And yeah, so I downloaded a few games. I will give my views on it. I haven't really dove into it, but like from what I'm seeing, it is you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. Like it's really good. Like the games that are there alone. Like Gears of War 5 is coming out this month and it's gonna be on Game Pass, so I don't even have to buy it. I just have to, you know, find 100 gigs of data. Other news,
which is what I was thinking about.
In other news, Sony bought Insomniac. So Insomniac have for a long time had a really close relationship with Sony and their PlayStation brand. Mm-hmm. So for context, since the early 2000s, we've had exclusive games like Ratchet and Clank, Resistance. Most recently, we had Marvel's Spider-Man, which I think was one of the best-selling games of the PlayStation 4. Like it's selling gangbangers. It's still selling gangbangers. So I think this is a really good acquisition for Sony. Someone I saw on Twitter, I don't remember exactly who, so if I'm crediting or if I'm taking someone's credit, I apologize. But they basically compared it to someone being in a long term relationship, finally like
getting wifed.
Yeah, getting wifed. Like Insomniac has been like really in bed with Sony for a long period of time. During the launch of this generation, they had this Xbox One exclusive, which was what is it called? I'm actually spacing on the name. When this is a game that came with my Xbox One. Sunset Overdrive, yes. It didn't sell well. I thought it was a really great game, but that seems to be the only stint where they were seeing other people. But, yeah.
I like the little analogies going
yeah,
on
yeah.
there. Like much better than I usually do when I'm trying to do that.
It's not even my analogy. That's why I'm searching you. So. But, yeah, I think it's a great acquisition for Sony, especially considering how many acquisitions Microsoft has made in the last year. Like, this is kind of them... biting back a little. So the next generation is going to be really interesting, I think. Finally, just something I think we should mention. The Apple Card started rolling out last week.
We don't really care about the Apple Card.
We don't really know, but I thought there might be some people that do. Mm. So I thought we should just mention it. MKBHD did a review of it. You can check that out.
Dude, that's one thing I don't expect to see in my country for many years to come.
I honestly don't expect to see it.
You know what I think? You know what I think? It'll shut down before it even gets here.
Yeah, because first of all, it's a credit card.
In my lifetime.
First of all, it's a credit card. And like people have been conflating this as a piece of tech. No.
It's really not.
It's a credit card that has some benefits if you're on iOS. Mm. That's it. So just thought I'd mention that. I think that's all the news we're covering today. So we can get into the topic of the show.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so as we start today's topic, I just wanted to make sure that I give a disclaimer. Mm-hmm. Everything we'll talk about is our opinion. Mm-hmm. We're not at all experts in the business field of stuff.
Definitely.
But we will talk about that anyway from our opinion. So feel free to mention us if you feel like you need to add something or remove something from anything we'll say. Very much open to like conversations around this sort of thing. It's something that's really, I'd say, not many people pay attention to lately.
Yeah.
I think we pay attention to, but not enough, in my opinion. And to kick it off, I'll start with one of the most important things, which is statistics, like data or data,
like
whichever.
Being objective about it.
Yeah, basically. So like every time. You're deciding whether you're going to pick a website or Facebook or whatever. Well, the big assumption is that you're basing that decision off some kind of data or information that you either have collected or came across. And usually, it also depends on the kind of business that you're running also. Mm-hmm. Are you in e-commerce? Are you just, you know, giving out information? Mm-hmm. Are you... Yeah, there's like lots of factors that go into making the decision. And I just wanted to give a few statistics for some people that that this may help in terms of moving them along in terms of making the choice. Personally, I feel like you don't need to choose between one platform or the other. Well, obviously, depending whether you can afford it or not. I just feel like you need to pick the one that gives you the best advantage and still add on the rest as well, because those are still... channels for sales and stuff like that. So I want to focus on Africa first of all, and then zero in on Zambia as well. So I was doing some research and I found out that Facebook, yes, is the biggest social media platform in the world. Mm-hmm. I think we know this already,
without a question.
And by the way, fun fact: there's more users in India than the US, which is strange. But not so strange, actually. But that I found that really interesting.
That is interesting.
It's very interesting, right? Like, by far. It's not even, like, close. And I'll post a link to, like, this really fun statistic in the description. Then Africa, right? 67%. We have 67% of users on Facebook, followed by YouTube, then Pinterest. like those are the top three. And there's like a really big gap between Facebook and YouTube. YouTube is like 18%, Pinterest is like 8%, and then the rest fall off. Instagram, Twitter. Twitter's not as popular as I thought, actually.
Yeah, and I think this I think this is something that people don't realize. Like, I don't know. So for me, Twitter is, like, personally, Twitter is bigger than Facebook because of the
content.
Also, my circles. Like, a lot of my friends are more on Twitter than on
Facebook. Than they are on Facebook.
Yeah. Facebook is where my aunts and uncles are, so.
Well, they're slowly joining you on Twitter. So.
It's not going to be fun. Anyway.
And then when we zero down, like, when we bring it closer to home, Facebook is still the leading social media platform, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then we have Pinterest, which surprised me, and then Twitter. Maybe because I'm not really a Pinterest guy. Like, I know I'm on a few boards for, mm-hmm. like, some of the work stuff that I've been doing, mm-hmm. but really not my area, actually.
Yeah, I me neither. I'm on Pinterest, but I don't really, like... Like, this is how little I use Pinterest. I have the app on my phone, but it's been offloaded. And, like, iOS has this thing where it offloads apps that you don't use. So, mm-hmm. like, I'd have to download it again for me to use it. That's how little I use Pinterest. I get their emails, though. Like, I subscribe.
You're too lazy to unsubscribe.
No, it's... So here's the thing, right? I actually like those because, like, I'm following boards for tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
So... I like seeing them in my email because I see some really dope designs and whatnot, but I never go in the app or on their website if I'm on PC.
Yeah, I downloaded the app, did the same thing, joined a few tattoo boards, and dude, I deleted the app. I was like, it's really just, you know, wasting space. I'll go on the web app if I need to look at any more like stuff. Yeah. So,
but like, I can see how people can get into it. It's kind of like an organized Instagram in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, actually, I feel like there's much more content on Pinterest than Instagram. Yeah. Maybe I just like the user experience on Instagram, maybe.
Yeah, Instagram is kind of like really simplified, and that lends to how easy it is for someone to just, you know, open their app, you go on, you've got your timeline, it's just pictures, you scroll up, whereas on Pinterest it seems like you've got to put a little more work into looking for what you want to find.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, something that I noticed was that there was like 100% growth in terms of how many people are listing their businesses on Facebook. This is just to show you how big Facebook's become in terms of the business side of stuff. In 2015, we had about 40 million small business pages. These are small businesses. I don't know what kind of criteria they use in terms of determining what's small or not.
I'm sure the usual, like, number of likes and stuff
and
like
so
that.
And so on and so forth, yeah. And then fast forward to, like, 2018, that number was at 80 million. So that gives you an idea of how many people are getting on the platform to kind of use it as a space where they can grow their businesses and stuff like that. So we won't really focus on Pinterest or Instagram and stuff like that. I think we'd like to zero in on maybe Facebook and Twitter as a use case for this kind of discussion and stuff like that. So we're basically going to go around the different ideas around setting up a page and whether it would do much better than a website, when should you have both, and also what are the pros and cons of, you know, setting up either. How much leverage do you have in terms of reaching your market, and how much does Facebook actually allow you to do in terms of owning it and making it feel like a place where people would like to enjoy coming and stuff like that. So I'm going to start from saying this. I don't think Facebook will ever replace a traditional website.
I'd agree.
For me, the topmost reason is just the fact that they will always control design.
Exactly. And not just design, actually.
Well, even content, really. Mm. If you think about it, there's also the content part. But for me, it's just the overall design, like the overall user experience, mm-hmm. the overall feel of what it is to interact with, let's say, whatever entities behind the business and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. For me, that's the part I find most irritating. Like, funny thing is, I'm not even a front-end designer guy. Like, I suck at design, but I enjoy looking at aesthetics and how stuff is built. And sometimes I tend to opt into certain services just because of that.
Yeah. Like, I'd agree. Like, definitely the biggest drawback is the amount of control you lose by ceding control to Facebook. I mean, you're putting your platform on their platform. So any changes they make to their platform are going to affect you. And you might not like we see this all the time, like whether it's like political, politically or whatever it is, like people complaining about Facebook, like driving traffic to left-leaning businesses more so than right-leaning and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's something that, something that you have to live with if you're on a platform like Facebook, because at the end of the day, Facebook is the platform as opposed to a website where you can build it out and you have a lot more control.
Yeah. Though I have to admit that they have been making some strides towards making it more like flexible. Now you can design what kind of page you want based off a template. For example, if you're a shop or you're whatever, there is options to do that on Facebook now. Obviously, you still have the banner and the logo and everything. And most people could still get the information that they need about a business through the page. You could even drive community growth through the Facebook page. You can link that to a group. And there you can be more engaging with the people that are interacting with whatever it is that you're trying to do, whether you're selling a service or you're selling products and stuff, whatever the terminology is in terms of that. And that's really interesting. Another thing I really don't like about it is the fact that they control the way the information is delivered, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, you can try and design it as much as you want, but it's still going to be just a blob of text with like an added slideshow or a picture. Mm-hmm. And you need to put in so much effort in terms of strategy. Not that you don't need to do the same from like a website perspective, but I just feel like if you thought Facebook was easier, it's really not.
Yeah.
Not much easier than setting up like a website in terms of delivery of information and stuff like that.
I'll counter with one of the big reasons why Facebook trumps. I don't say trumps. Why you might want to go with Facebook over, and that's install base.
That's true.
The biggest reason why businesses that have websites are also on Facebook and also on Twitter is when you have a website, you have to then drive traffic to your website.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find ways, whether it's Google Ads or whatever it is, you have to find ways to get a user's attention and send them to your website, which is no easy task. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Facebook, it's as easy as creating a Facebook ad, and it actually does targeting for you based on what your target audience is and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't ignore that as a big reason why some companies scrap a website altogether. Some companies say, you know what, we don't really need a website because we can do everything through Facebook.
That really depends on a lot. Okay, it depends on a few things. First of all, it depends on what kind of business you're running.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're an e-commerce store, let me just generalize it like that. If you're an e-commerce store, yes, you're reaching the market, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you still need to drive sales.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to add on by saying, in as much as you can have this platform that's obviously... the install base is quite large.
Yeah.
We're talking about millions, maybe even billions now of users. Yeah. The billions now, right? Are they still?
I think there are over a billion at least.
Yeah, and I'm guessing I'll throw in some statistics on how many users are there in Zambia generally, but it's mobile friendly. The traffic, the potential for traffic is quite high, and so on and so forth. It's also like well, for all intents and purposes, a single channel for advertising, like you're putting it. You can target ads, you can do whatever. You still need to make sales, though.
Yeah.
You still need to improve how easy it is for people to get your product, for example.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where the driving traffic to your website kind of comes in.
Like, which was my point, that companies that, for example, Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Biggest e-commerce in the world, or second behind Alibaba, I think, in terms of... Anyway, one of the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Twitter page. Mm. They have a Facebook page. They have a Facebook page. I'm pretty sure they have a Facebook page.
I'm pretty sure they have one.
Yeah. So my point is, even when you want to drive traffic to a website, you're going to have a Facebook presence,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to businesses that feel they don't need to have a website, still feel they need to have a Facebook presence. And mm-hmm. I guess this is getting into now why you would want to use Facebook over a website and vice versa.
For me, like I said, I don't think it should ever be a Facebook versus like website scenario. I feel like at some point you will need one or the other.
Yeah.
Like it's just the way it is. You know, there's this thing, I don't remember where I read it, but it was something to do with like banner advertising and stuff like that, like billboards. Like this, there was a use case about when was the right time to put a banner on a billboard or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this person, I don't remember who it is, but if I find it, I'll put it in the description, had this theory that you should always do your billboard advertising last, because it's most likely going to generate the least revenue for you.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you would have done all these other channels and all these other, basically channels,
mm-hmm.
and they would already be generating that revenue for you. And now you're using billboards to get the outliers, the ones that you didn't get through Facebook.
Yeah.
There won't be so many, but over time, they'll come in over time. It won't be like, you know, over a month. It's possibly over a year and stuff like that. So I really feel like it's not a one over the other, but it's more or less which one should you get first, and at what point do you decide I need to get this other one now and stuff like that. So, I always feel like you should start with the page. It's easier.
Yeah.
It's stress-free.
Also, I feel like once you get... like a Facebook presence, it gives you a kind of what's the word I'm looking for? It makes you seem reputable when you have a website. Perfect example. When you're looking for something, what's the first thing you do?
I Google it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you Google it and you don't find a website, what's the first thought that comes in your mind?
Facebook.
It's actually going to show up on Facebook, but they don't have their own website.
Well, to be honest, for me, when I'm looking for something, I'll Google it. And if I find both a Facebook page and a website, I'd rather go to the website than the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because I'll feel like everything is neatly arranged I'll assume that it's neatly arranged. I'll probably find what I'm looking for much faster than if I go to the Facebook page, for example. Yeah. And the simple thing is maybe contact information. Sometimes even pricing for certain products, sometimes even just like understanding what this business does generally, I feel like I'll find on the website rather than a page. If I don't find the website, granted, I'll still go to their Facebook page. I may not like it, I will still look at all the information. Yeah.
My point was for, say, someone who is looking for a place to eat, and they Google it. Like, I feel like, and maybe this is just me, and again, this is our opinion, but I feel like when I go and I Google something and I find the website, it's a little more encouraging than if there's no website, because then I'm like, well, these guys that Because, like, to your point, like, it's kind of, it's not really hard to get a website out. And we'll get into some of the, yeah, some of the ways you can, you can do it without, like, coding and stuff. Like, it's not something in 2019 that should be a barrier to entry for anyone that wants to have a presence online.
Yeah.
So when I search for that and I don't find a website, I'm like, guys, really? Like, so it's not really, but like, I guess that might just be me.
Yeah. Well, I get the feeling that you're driving towards legitimacy as the sort of comfort that will help you kind of trust these people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like I've said, like I'm not implying that if you don't have a website, then you're not a legitimate business or whatnot. But it does.
But you are saying it comforts you. It makes you feel better about it.
It does make you feel better about like whatever it is you're looking for, or you know, if you go to a website, especially if it's a good looking website, you know, you go to a website, like we see this all the time, like. Someone like, or maybe it's just me, like, but like someone will go to a website and they'll be like, oh, this website, the common one is this website looks like it wasn't built in Zambia. Okay.
You know what? I tweeted that people should send us links to stuff they've built. I'm hoping by the time we release this episode, we'll have a few links that we can put in the description so people can see what local developers are building. And it's very interesting that you say that because, you know, trying to get the developer conference together, I've had conversations with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I've had people call me asking for more information about it. And slowly I've seen that people don't really understand what the developer landscape is like in the country at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're not really familiar with what kind of tools people are adept with, what kind of skill sets are actually available. We still have a lot of people that think a lot of the stuff is built outside. Outside the country. And there's lots of people that are doing amazing work, building really amazing stuff. I mean, I'd like to think the stuff I've built is amazing in my own right.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and also, visit codecastzm.com and give us feedback. So just had to slide that in. So it's really interesting. And hopefully we can get people to understand that even someone without any coding experience can build a website that someone would think wasn't built in the country. Yeah.
So, well, the hope is that the misconception that good websites can't be built in Zambia shifts.
Would disappear eventually. But,
yeah, I guess I should take it as a compliment when someone says it looks like I didn't know Zambia's good.
I'm yet to think about it that way. I still get offended.
I get offended, but for a lot of people it's their way of complimenting.
People should stop doing that though.
People should stop doing that. I agree. And I think a lot of people now are realizing that that's not a, like, it's kind of a backhanded compliment, but I don't know, a compliment nonetheless. I guess I just like compliments. Like, take the
yeah, I guess so. You know, you know what I think based off like the environment, the space we live in. I mean, we preach free open space, free space, and everything, but. Remember, I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter yet, but there's this Twitter page, right? Mm-hmm. That posts like these graffiti drawings of like celebrities and stuff like that, and like people went off on this account talking about how they use Photoshop and that sort of thing. They don't actually draw the stuff. It can't take them 7 hours to draw something. Like, it was really interesting because even though I wasn't sure if the person actually does the work themselves, mm-hmm. like it really struck me that a lot of people were quick to dismiss it without actually trying to get into like the whole experience of doing it and trying to figure out if it's actually true or it's something that's real. Yeah. And if it was someone outside the country, from the US particularly,
exactly,
someone would be like, oh damn, you're so talented. Yeah, right. So like hopefully This stereotype, this kind of behavior is just not in tech. It's really spread across different industries. And Well, hopefully, we'll play our part in kind of like getting to that point where people don't have to make such kind of assumptions.
Yeah, like for sure, because like I just stumbled upon this Instagram. Oh, side note. I stumbled upon this Instagram account where there's this Zambian drummer, and she's really good. And I, like, I must confess, I was also kind of like, oh, damn, she's Zambian? But, like, that's the point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whenever someone is, like, Zambian and talented, your first thought is, but for real? So hopefully we can get to a point like you're saying, where it's no longer a thing of, oh, for you're Zambian, it's you're really talented. Yeah. The way other people from other countries get complimented on their talent.
Yeah, and well, just to add on to something like that, I just thought I should mention this. I'm trying to find the name of this podcast that I found out about recently. Actually, I only found out about this podcast because they followed us. Then I was like, oh, cool, let me check this out. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get the name. What's On My Mind by someone by the name of Temwani Msiska. I think I'll put a link in the description. It was I enjoyed it, and I think it reminded me of the drama thing you're talking about. It's quite dramatic, and it was surprisingly really interesting. I didn't think I'd like enjoy it, but I did. So that's something I guess we can pick from that.
Yeah.
Okay, so coming back to our conversation, right? When do you think is the right time for someone to set up a website?
So again, opinion, and I'll also say take this with a grain of salt because we are developers after all. But I think building a website should be part of your onboarding process. Is onboarding the right word? You know, as you're building out your business, as you're planning your stuff and whatnot, I think ideally you want your website built out so that when you roll out, you have a place to send your traffic.
Yeah.
I know this is not always the case for a variety of reasons, but I think ideally you want to have your website up. Ideally, you want to have your website, your Facebook, your Twitter up so that when you're ready to hit the ground, you hit the ground running. And, you know, you have places to drive your traffic. You drive traffic to your Facebook, and your Facebook has your face your website. Your website has links to your Facebook and your Twitter and whatever.
So that's the perfect case if we're dealing with, let's say, e-commerce or anything that involves a dynamic nature in which people interact with a product that you probably wouldn't get on spaces like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter yet. Anyway, we don't know how much evolution is going to happen in this space. And one other thing I can think about in terms of just giving an example or stuff like that is maybe practical example is a platform like I want to give a local example of something that you can launch, but if you launch without a website, you really be crippling yourself.
Zambezi.com.
Oh yeah, Zambezi, the brand with two eyes. Yeah, so that's like a B2C, B2B, B2C, everything, right?
Yeah. So the point is, without a website,
you can't really reach your target market
exactly, or
drive sales, basically. So for me, when I'm looking at someone like a photographer or like, and the other person that was in the conversation that actually stirred this up was a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's a photographer. Who else? A makeup artist, for example. Like, I feel like maybe even a platform like Instagram or Facebook would be the perfect place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you establish your brand and you grow, even events companies, for example, as you establish your brand and you grow, then you can set about and actually extend it to maybe a website. And maybe for a website, you can then add little features that I would appreciate, for example, but maybe I don't count because I'm like a techie, but things like booking online, for example, booking maybe like a photography session, or for the people that would makeup artist session. And I will actually put out a link to something that I tried. Like, we'll talk about setting up some of these sites soon. And I shit you not, I set one up in like under 10 minutes on one of these platforms that you can use to build a website. Not a single line of code, drag and drop. And oddly enough, I picked a makeup artist style template to kind of show people like, okay, this is something you can build under 10 minutes. Mm. And it was really because it came with shipping with like an option to have like a booking, an online bookings integration. Oh, so wow. People can actually book for like a makeup session online, basically. And all these very easy to set up under 10 minutes. I'll put a link and yeah, hopefully we can have a conversation around it. But yeah, going back to when you should actually do it, I think you should do it when you understand what your goals and objectives are as a business, mm-hmm. what target market you're trying to reach, where your target market lives, not just physically,
exactly,
but online as well. Yeah. Like we mentioned, Facebook is the biggest platform. Like you have 55% of people in the country on Facebook daily.
Yeah.
Like active users. Okay, not daily. That's a lie. Well, but anyway, that gives you an idea.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was daily, honestly.
Yeah. So, sorry, 55% of users, not million. But yeah, so that gives you an idea of maybe what platform you can begin with. Raise the money if you don't have the money, if you're rolling on a budget. Mm-hmm. Raise enough money from all this Tamanga Life on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then when you're ready, you can either hire a coder to, you know, bring this design of yours to life.
Yeah.
Or you can do it yourself through one of these platforms that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Or you can learn how to write code yourself.
And, I mean, yeah, I would agree that for a lot of people, for example, like over the last, decade or so, we've seen the rise of the influencer. An influencer doesn't need a website. But that is like a brand, it's like a legitimate business now in 2019. So, yeah,
did you think it wasn't a legitimate business before?
No, I'm not even going to, like, honestly, like, I didn't understand how big being an influencer could get until fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was just people, like, being funny on the Instagrams and the Vines, RIP Vine, the Facebooks and whatnot. But like it's actually big business, because even something as small as ad revenue makes a lot of these guys millions. And like we're starting to see that growing locally as well. Like we're starting to see more and more socialites and influencers in Zambia. So I'd say, yeah, for It's not one size fits all when it comes to a website. Like never. You don't.
Not even Facebook.
Yeah, not even Facebook. Honestly, like to your point with a photographer, like Instagram and Pinterest, maybe just to get your work out there and show. Then later on, you might want to build an online portfolio or something like that. And to your point, there's some platforms that make it really easy to do this stuff without having to write lines of code and be a quote-unquote nerd. But yeah, I think it's important for specific types of businesses, I guess. But I personally would always recommend, when you're preparing to launch your business, especially now when there are actually free options that I think we'll get into in a bit, it's wise to invest I'm not even talking monetary investment. Like it could be like
brand implications.
Time, yeah, into just having a website up. It might not even be the main source of your traffic, but having something there that says, okay, this is how I want to present my business to the world. This is how I want to present my brand to the world, which you can't always do with Facebook because of the restrictions that are there with having a page on Facebook.
Try getting someone to find your page.
That is true. I mean, like, sometimes you have this brilliant idea, you have this brilliant name, you're like, this is the name, and then the name is taken, and you're like, but if I put a 2 at the end, it's going to be like a rip-off and whatnot. So now you have to find a creative way to... Yeah.
But not to say it's easy for people's websites to be found anyway. I mean, you still need to deal with what most people in the space calls SEOs or search engine optimization.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly.
Making sure when someone is searching for you, like they can definitely find you at the top or something like that. So it's not an easy feat anyways.
Because that's also a big thing. You never want to be on page two when someone Googles you.
But you know, the most interesting thing is, like, with all this controversy around, like, the way Google manages the search engine and so on and so forth, the algorithm, there's places like Europe, for example, where the biggest complaint was that Google always show preference to certain products at the top. Mm-hmm. So you're most likely to find the things you're actually looking for on page two or three. So, like, really? I think if I find this article, I will definitely put it in the description. But there was something like that. So, like, if someone has heard something similar, you can talk to us about it and we can have a chat online or something like that. But then I wanted to talk about one of the biggest advantages of Facebook. That's being able to loop in your entire friends and family, like at the click of a button, for example. Yeah. You can invite everybody to like your page, and hopefully if you have 100 friends and they all share it with their networks, so if each of those networks also has 100 people, you're basically reaching 10,000, 100,000 people.
It cascades.
Yeah, it cascades.
So it's your network, your friends' networks.
Exactly. So it becomes a bit easier to kind of reach the market you want in the early stages. Mm-hmm. So for me, Facebook first. That's if you don't have the money. If you have the resources, it's not just money, sorry, even just time. Because sometimes for people, it's a limitation in terms of time. You may want to invest in already thinking about launching like an online presence from a website perspective. Yeah. And sometimes it's even people who are looking for investment opportunities. I mean, most likely investors, and I know we've talked about this before, Zambia is very slow towards getting to the whole, you know, venture capitalist stage, angel investment. Like, I came across a few sites that basically are a collective of, like, angel investors in the country, but there weren't that many that are registered on that platform. I think it was, like, six or something. And most of the people that may be looking to invest will probably be people from outside the country. Mm-hmm. And Facebook is not the best look for people like that. You may want to look at having a website, preferably with your team listed on your website as well. Your mission, vision, description.
Basically all the information they'll be looking for.
Relevant to give this guy as much information about you so that they can contact you and actually talk to you.
Yeah.
So different people, different needs. Depends on what your needs are. So figure your needs out, and then that will basically point you towards where you need to go from in terms of where you're going to start from.
Yeah.
I hope we've covered. I hope we've covered enough.
I think we've covered.
In terms of where to start from.
Yeah, I think we've covered a lot, but the onus is on the business, I think. Mm. At the end of the day, you have to understand your business and know your target audience.
Yeah, definitely.
There's some, like we've said this, there's some businesses that you just can't launch without a website.
Can't.
Yeah. And then there's some that might not need a website altogether.
Yeah. But you just need it just for the sake of delivering a particular set of information quickly and so on and so forth.
Yeah. But regardless of whether or not you're building a website, I think it's always important to at least have a Facebook presence, because
it's a good market.
Yeah, like it's just really the big traffic alone, like the possibilities are. Like, I keep driving this fact that you keep giving me a look.
You know what? Like, I recently started playing around with, like, LinkedIn pages. I just realized we didn't even talk about it. You know, the funny thing is, that's the place you expect to drive the most B2B, like, business or B2C or...
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just doesn't strike me as that place, you know? Like...
I mean,
maybe I'll give feedback after I play with it for like a few months, because it's only been a few weeks. So maybe when I'm done playing around with it, I can give like a review on what my thoughts are on like launching a business on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and so on and so forth. I think the biggest issue with LinkedIn, and I was having a conversation with someone about this actually, is that LinkedIn still has that very formal feel to it. And when marketing, being formal is, especially these days, not the best thing. Like, being very formal is not something that end users always relate to.
But I will say that for us as a podcast, right, LinkedIn has been really good.
Yeah.
Because we've got a few guests from LinkedIn as well, through LinkedIn. We've had a few opportunities pitching to some big companies, not just in Africa, but around the globe through LinkedIn. So, like, it like goes back to what we're saying. It really depends what industry you're in, what kind of business you're doing. So for us, it's mostly media. So that's like a good avenue. And we didn't really need a website until, to be honest, we didn't really need it.
Yeah, because it comes back to the same thing. Like, most of our traffic was through social media.
Yeah, so we didn't really need it at all. I think for us, it was mostly because we wanted email, like official email addresses.
Yeah.
And basically, I mean, we got the domain, so why not just build a website as well to go with the domain so people can actually get information. So that's something that we're slowly building. So if you're looking to help us out in that area, feel free to like drop us an email or like DM any of us.
Yeah.
And we would gladly have you on board. Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on, right? We want to talk about the different ways in which people can actually, well, if you've gotten to the point where you want to build a website or something like that. We won't talk about setting up a Facebook page because I feel like that's one of the...
I think it's easy enough.
Yeah, it's really easy enough. Yeah. And even if you make a mistake the first time, you really have a lot of options in terms of correcting them. And it's not as costly to correct a mistake setting up a Facebook page than it is...
A website.
Yeah. So, like, this is really one thing. Depending on what you're looking for, it can get quite costly to set up a website, to be honest. It can really get costly. And also goes back to what you are doing as a business, for example. And I'm sure building a platform like Zambezi has with like that sort of complexity, I'm sure is pretty expensive, especially if you're outsourcing it to like an off-premises software development company. They'll charge you upwards of maybe even 300,000 kwacha, you know, just getting that sorted. But then when you look at the flip side, a website like the one we've built was relatively cheap to build out, depending on who you're seeing. And I once saw also... I have to mention that sometimes the cost is tied into the quality, because the example I'm about to give is one of a website I saw in 2015, and this website was terrible. You want to know how much this person spent actually having this website built? It was like, I think, 1,000 kwacha.
Sounds about right.
That's less than $100. And this was supposed to be like a website for an events company. Okay, not really an event. It was like it's agricultural stuff, like farming inputs and stuff like that. And it was a combination of the events and the agricultural side of the business, and it was just terrible. Like, you could barely find any information there. There was, like, these dancing chickens. Like, dude, this was, like, you know, stick figures, right? Stick figures, first of all, and pictures of chickens, like, dancing across the website. And, dude, it was so annoying. It was... just so, and I can't even describe it. Well, and I'm thinking, like, okay, like, me about to buy something from you, like, I'm immediately turned off, like, by
even worse than having no website is having a bad website.
Having a bad one.
Because to the point I gave earlier where, like, legitimacy and whatnot lending to you having a website or not. If someone goes to your website and it sucks... Like, that will actually cause you to lose customers.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, no, I'm not going to mention names. But that is, like, I think another problem that a few businesses in Zambia have, where they basically ship out the bare minimum because it's cheap.
I feel like even for the price you're paying, like, the bare minimum has to be much higher than the bar that's currently set. You know what I mean? And... I am still asking people to like send links to websites that they don't enjoy, that they feel are really bad, so we can actually take a look at it and see how bad it actually is.
Yeah, just how bad it is.
But I don't think anyone will ever go above the chicken one. That one was
top tier. We should have a discussion afterwards. We're gonna look for this.
It's actually down now. So what ended up happening was the domain expired.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, we didn't scrape the site before the domain expired. So we had no copy of it.
Yeah.
And the person actually ended up approaching my business to rebuild their site.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, safe to say, we definitely did a better job than what he did. But there's still lots of room for improvement and so on and so forth. So if I can find a copy of it, I will definitely show it to you because it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Anyway, moving on. So like I was saying.
Like a Hello World website.
Dude, a Hello World website is better than what I saw. And I guarantee you. Tell you what. I'll tell you who to ask if you want to hear how bad this was.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you who to ask, and I'm sure they'll maybe even describe it worse than I have. So, in terms of costs, going back to the whole cost thing, it really depends on who you're approaching. Is it a friend? Is it a company? And even in terms of a company, is it an already established business?
Yeah.
How big is the reputation? So pricing really varies.
Yeah.
But you're generally going to find someone willing to build a website for you for 1,000 kwacha, maybe even less, you know, going upwards. I think I've seen people charge 500 kwacha as well, which is less than $50. I think it's like $3 to build a simple, basic website for you with no complicated things like online bookings, just something simple for like information sharing and people contacting you and stuff like that. So,
which I still think is a bit cheap, but...
Well, yeah. Well, that's okay, another discussion altogether. It's another discussion altogether. So after you think about the cost in terms of building the website, there's also the cost in terms of finding a place for your website to live.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just break this down like this. Primarily, there's three costs, right? And these are just the bare minimum costs. There's paying the person building your website or company or whatever. There is hosting fees as well, where your website will live.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the what they call the domain name, which is basically the www.mybusiness.com. So those are like the bare minimum costs that are there. But depending on how you're going about building this thing, there could be additional costs in terms of maybe if, like we talked about, it's a dynamic website, it needs to store information, you could incur costs from other things that we probably won't get into, trying not to be too technical. So generally those are the costs that go into like building a website. And like I said before, if you don't have the budget to hire someone that can build this out for you, there is alternatives where you don't need to be a coder, you don't need to know how to write code. All this stuff is done for you in the back. It's abstracted, you don't see it. You just basically drag and drop whatever you want, and there should be step-by-step guides on how to publish the site as well. And those are pretty much available for people that don't know how to write code. So actually, I guess we can go into that, kind of give the pros and cons of what they call web builders against actually hiring someone or building the website yourself. So Do you want to tell me what kind of web builders you've played with in the past, recently?
Recently?
Well, yeah, even recently. I doubt recently, but...
I haven't played with... Okay, so I don't like web builders, specifically because of the lack of control, and I'm sure you're seeing a theme.
Mm-hmm.
But... definitely they have their market, because like I know people that are managing their own sites, whether it's a web WordPress or what's the other popular one, Squarespace
is Wix as well.
Wix is also getting really popular.
Shopify I think is getting kind of popular. But Wix, Weebly, and Squarespace are kind of the popular ones. And Squarespace, not really actually here. Interesting, because I got a call maybe like last week, someone was asking me if there was a Squarespace community in Lusaka. But that was the first time I ever heard someone even talk about using Squarespace. So it was really interesting. So I guess it's one of those that's just getting popular as well.
As far as the ones I've played with, mostly WordPress. And even WordPress, it was just... WordPress is the reason why I don't like Word...
Web builders.
Yeah,
Web builders. That's the reason why. For me, it's Weebly.
So I haven't even played with Weebly. Because I've played around with WordPress and I've seen... So for context, like... When you can build a website, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing with these, a lot of the time in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, you're thinking about all the things that you can't do instead of admiring...
Things that you can do.
Exactly. And benefits. I think that's the problem with web builders for someone like me or you.
Yes.
But,
And I was just about to say that we are not really the target market for
web builders
because they don't give us the flexibility we need.
Exactly.
And giving more context... Like web builders, first and foremost, the biggest advantages of web builders is the fact that there's no coding skills required.
Yeah,
you don't need the help of an expert coder. You don't need to learn how to program. You don't need all that stuff. These platforms are built for people who know nothing about writing code.
I mean, a lot of...
go ahead.
A lot of them even take care of the issue of a domain.
Yes,
and
actually.
Web hosting.
Exactly.
It's basically drag and drop. Okay, click here, click here, click here, click here, publish.
Yes.
And you don't have to worry about all the things that we were talking about before.
Yeah, basically. And the whole point of this is to kind of address, first of all, the fact that there's special skills required in terms of building a website, and this solves that challenge for you. You don't need those special skills. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it takes away the cost of hiring someone to actually build some of this stuff.
Yep.
I don't know how easy it is though when you want to migrate from some of these platforms into other. I can't imagine that it's easy for all of them.
Mm.
And pro tip for developers, there is a difference between WordPress.org and WordPress.com. So make sure you do your research in terms of what the limitations are on either platform. One of them is open source, one really isn't. One has like strict limitations and the other doesn't have. So make sure you check that as well before recommending a platform to like someone to like, you know,
build out their website.
Yeah. Then another advantage of like the web builders is the fact that you don't really need design skills as well. The fact that they're all like drag and drop. Like I played with two today. In an hour, I played with Squarespace. I played with Wix, and I think I already had a bit of experience with Weebly as well. So first of all, the sign-up process isn't as complicated. It's simple enough. I think with my Wix site, which I'll also put a link to, it was really easy. I signed up with Facebook, and by virtue of me signing up with Facebook, it made it easier to plug in some of the information, like, for example, contact forms.
Mm-hmm.
So it automatically picks up my email address from Facebook, and that's the responding... Or the email, it'll be directing all the traffic from the contact form, for example.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, you can change that stuff, but that's just an advantage. And then also, you can pick fonts. You can pick what kind of images you want on your page. And all these images will obviously be stock. So you can actually use them for like free platforms. Like I think Weebly or Wix is one of the free ones. And then we come back to like the cons of having like a website builder. With all the ease, there is a lot of like trade-offs as well.
Yeah,
it's not very suitable for like professional businesses.
Not really, no.
No, it's really not. Like WordPress is really ideal for like WordPress.org is really ideal for bloggers, for example.
Definitely
because of
bloggers.
How many themes and templates are available, you can just pick and say, I want this type of blog.
Yeah.
And you can focus on the writing, for example. And it's relatively easy to grasp in terms of how you set it up and how you publish and so on and so forth.
And also how, I don't know if generic is the right word to use, but how standardized a blog site is as opposed to, say... Mm. Like we talked about, an e-commerce site?
Yes.
Like there are vast differences between e-commerce sites that you can't just have a template for, which essentially these web builders are, right? Like it's a template that they give you, and a lot of these are built, they build out the code
Yes, they build out the
based
code.
Based on the template that you choose and so on and so forth.
So you find that a lot of the flexibility in design that you would want is taken away from you. And I know with WordPress, you can play around with the actual design if you know enough. But if there's something specific that you want, you might need to find a coder.
Yeah.
To like now, like design or make something work the way you want it to work, which is basically where we're going when we talk about professional businesses. Also, when you talk about the thing SEO we mentioned earlier, a lot of them may not provide that for you. So you may lose out in terms of actually being on the first page of a Google search or stuff like that. Sometimes some of these platforms will give you a very cheap looking design and there's not so much you can do about it. So you kind of have to live with crappy design and losing some customers from that kind of crappy design. Also, you don't really have a lot of control in terms of performance, which is a big deal for us in the technical space.
Yeah.
Like performance is one of the key metrics that we look for in terms of building something. You don't want something that loads slowly. You want to make sure you have the granular control over what's delaying load times for your website or something like that. So that's really a big deal. And some of them will just give you limited features.
Yeah.
I know with Squarespace, for example, right? I have a 14-day trial. After that, I really can't do anything with it. If I publish it, it would have a really funny domain name, like a really, really funny domain, which I can't even change. So you're restricted. You probably have like elias.squarespace.com or something like that.
Yeah.
So it would really be weird looking until you upgrade to like a paid tier, which is like maybe $10 per month.
Yeah.
And I'll send a link to like a comparison. I think it's like $10 per month.
I think the same is true for WordPress, right?
Not really.
In terms of domain names?
You can buy one and you can basically set it up. But if you go for the free tier...
WordPress will be in the domain.
Yeah, the WordPress will be in the domain. So you probably have, like I said, like elias.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. And I find that really annoying. And I know I talked about this when we had Musonda, for example, on that episode.
Yeah.
And we did offer to help people like actually get a domain.
Mm-hmm.
It is relatively affordable depending on what you're looking for.
Yep.
I know there are platforms that even offer discounts on domain names, so they could be as cheap as $4, $5, going up to $10. And if you're looking for something really unique, like we're always looking for a .io or .ai kind of domain, those are slightly more expensive. They're like maybe 50, 60, depending on whether it's a parked domain or not, it could be like $3,000. So like there is many options in terms of that. And also because you are giving power to like someone else to manage basically the design and everything structured, and you don't really have a lot of control if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
So you have to rely on customer service from that particular platform, and sometimes that's also a bit poor.
Yeah, that can actually be like a bit of a bottleneck to solving your problems. Some customer care, dude.
And also because we don't have a lot of locally developed platforms that give this kind of service, so you find you're dealing with time zones when it comes to customer service.
Yeah, true.
So if you have a problem with your site, for example, you find the person that's supposed to help you is still asleep, or they don't have 24-hour customer service, or you have to pay extra for like 24-hour customer service. So, that's one of the things. So, like I said, I'll post some links of some sites I built using some of the web builders. And I will tell you that my favorite was actually the Wix one, to be honest. Like, I really enjoyed it because, first of all, let me see if I can publish this. First of all, connecting, if you get a domain and connecting it to this particular site was relatively easy. If you look it up online, it's easy enough to do without the need of an expert, for example. The layouts and how they ask you like specific questions to kind of figure out how the AI should kind of design the website as well was pretty good. It was similar to Squarespace, but I was more comfortable with like Wix and stuff like that. And even publishing and it being live online, I didn't need to like bother with like worrying about a trial and stuff like that. And that was really good for me. One other thing is in terms of some of these quote unquote free platforms is they'll probably advertise on your site that's if it's free.
Yeah.
So you may have to contend with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's relatively easy to like set up everything. You really don't need to know any kind of code. If you've done coloring and painting as a kid, it's similar to that sort of thing. So like, yeah, I will post a few links to this and stuff like that.
Okay, cool. I'm actually interested to see what you built.
And I just wanted to talk about some of the key things to look out for in terms of deciding when and how you should go about building your website and stuff like that. Regardless whether you're using a web builder or you're hiring someone, always know what you need.
Yep.
Not really from this. This is actually speaking from a business perspective. Know what the objectives and goals of your business are. When you figure that out, it's actually quite easy to translate that into an online presence, whether it's Facebook, whether it's like
a website.
Even when you talk to a designer, when you're communicating those goals, they'll definitely know which direction to point you in.
Exactly.
On, at, whatever. So like think about whether you want a blog on your site, whether you want to sell stuff on your site, whether you want to have a contact form, whether you want sliding graphics and that sort of thing. And that really, plays a big role in terms of how that will work. And also, never be afraid to look for inspiration from your either your competitors, anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
Find something that you like. Find 3, 4, 5, 6 things you like. And then just look at them and say, okay, I like this about this. I like this. And then you can use that to kind of build something that you like. Design is important. It's your friend. Yeah.
I mean, some of the biggest companies in the world, I don't want to say copy, but take inspiration
from their competitors. Look at WhatsApp stories and Instagram stories stories.
Compared to what, Snapchat?
Snapchat, and Snapchat was like the front runner there until like Facebook came with its billions and just did it too. And now it's
crazy. In Facebook's defense, they were like, okay, but we want to buy you. Then Snapchat were like, no, we're going to be bigger than you. And then Facebook was like, okay, have you got this patented? Copy on everything.
Anyway, so I'm really hoping that this will help a lot of people. Start from somewhere in terms of getting an online presence.
Mm.
For me, I'm not really interested in the Facebook. Getting started on Facebook, it's more or less getting started from a website perspective.
Yeah.
It's not as expensive as people thought. And for developers, for example, one hack I really wanted to mention was free hosting on Netlify.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can host your front end on Netlify, and you can either link it to a custom domain or get a domain from them. And the last domain I got was like $10. And that was actually the CodeCastZM domain that we got. That was like $10, paying nothing for hosting. So literally our cost for the entire year is
$10
for our website.
Yeah.
And we were slightly at an advantage because we're coders, so we could build the site and push it ourselves. But if you have a little money, you can find someone that can build something really basic for you that'll still accomplish some of the things that you want. On a budget and so on and so forth.
Another hack would be AWS, though it's not free forever. So
free for a year, right?
Yeah, free for a year if you get... And it gives you like limited S3 storage and that kind of thing. But if you have a really simple website, like it's... You'll need someone technical, of course, to help you build the website and maybe just put it in there. But it's also an alternative to some of these hosting sites.
Yeah.
At least for the first year, you drive a bit of traffic, get a bit of revenue.
Hope that you get sales, yeah.
Yeah, and then you can either migrate or start paying for...
And I've just noticed we're doing hacks for developers. So another thing I found was with Google's cloud platform, if you're really careful about what kind of virtual machines and configurations you pick, you could actually pay quite a small amount on hosting on a monthly basis. It could be even as low as $10 a month.
Mm.
And you could get a whole virtual machine and, you know, you could build something more complex.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could scale up as and when you you grow, like in terms of traffic and stuff like that.
I mean, then, like there's a lot, like the reason why I'm not saying you can build something really complicated on AWS is because it requires a specific level of knowledge about AWS, which is not usually cheap when it comes to the people that know this. But if you're looking for free options, like there's a couple of good ones.
Yeah, relatively free. One platform I did find that I was really happy with in terms of, because well, now I'm settled. I'm a Laravel developer now. I'm settled, right? I did find somewhere where I can host my Laravel applications that was relatively affordable for me to play around with. So it's Cloudways, cloudways.com. So basically, I'm hosting really small Laravel application that has, well, it's pretty dynamic. It's pretty heavy sometimes, like in terms of, depends on traffic, but it's pretty much end-to-end. From managing your server to managing your backend from a database perspective, you've got many different options in terms of how you want to manage your backend and so on and so forth. So it's really affordable from that regard. And I feel like it's more or less a platform that will link you to all the different other platforms like Amazon or Google and so on and so forth. So depending which platform you pick, the price is sort of different. There's other options as well. Heroku and
There's other
Digital
ways.
Ocean. You can get a droplet for like $5.
A month. So there's cheap options. Definitely.
There is cheap options. So really they're basically free.
I mean, it basically boils down to what your business is. How much resources you're willing to set aside to build out the website. Do you need the website, and how complicated is the website going to be?
We're open to receiving questions if you're interested in learning about these platforms, or if you think we should do like I don't know, like some kind of meetup, like regarding these platforms and stuff like that. Like,
just an information swap or like knowledge sharing.
People know a lot more about all these options that are there for them to do, like to build out this stuff and not spend too much money. Okay, I guess to wrap it up, just going over everything that we've talked about. First things first. It really depends what kind of business you are into. And some businesses will require you to have a website off the bat, like we mentioned. Some will not. Some you can wait until you feel like it's absolutely necessary for you to like build out one, and you need to deliver some kind of information like the way you want to, in a way that most appealing to you. You don't want to get the branding of Facebook in the way. I know we didn't talk about this, but one of the downsides of running your business entirely on platforms like these ones is there's the chance they could go out of business. But then again, we're talking about Facebook, so the odds of that are really low. So I guess that's why I didn't mention it.
I mean, if Cambridge Analytica didn't kill Facebook.
That was barely a dent.
Anything.
Think about Google. Like, Google got fined, I don't know how many billions of euros, but look, they're still here today. So, that's one of the things. Hopefully, you learned one or two things.
Yeah. Hopefully, if you're planning to start a business and you have a general idea of what your business is, you know what your options are.
Definitely.
Yep.
This is probably the longest episode we've done this year.
Yeah. You think so?
I think so.
I agree.
Anyway, listen to all our other episodes of Codecast on your favorite streaming app. Make sure to leave us a review on iTunes or through whatever platform you're with. Send us a tweet. We're at CodecastZM on Twitter. We're at CodecastZM on Instagram. We're CodecastZM on Facebook. We're also Codecast Zambia on LinkedIn. So feel free to shoot us a message, question, anything in that regard.
Yep.
We're really open to it. So if you want to reach me personally, that's sour_bones on Twitter. And you should be able to find a link to most other things.
Yeah.
That
I'm Jorelei360 on Twitter, JOR_ELI 3360.
Okay, Elias has gotten better at doing this. So feel free to like send us tweets, send us whatever messages. We are kind of winding up the year. We don't have a lot of episodes left this year. Like this is our last show for August, actually. So the next show will be September.
Yeah, oof, the year is flying by.
Really flying by. So hopefully we can cram a lot of the suggestions for topics in the next few episodes that remain.
Yeah.
Okay. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this special inspired episode. Mm-hmm. And make sure to listen to all our other episodes and to more episodes as they come out.
Codecast out.
Out. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Codecast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at CodecastZM and subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never miss a show. Leave us a rating on iTunes and please do tell a friend about the show.